So the people that like me, they fucking hate you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the people like me hate you. Buckle up. It's another edition of the East Bay Insiders.
You know, it won't be football season. I don't get it.
Oh, I can't help myself.
Oh, hey, man. No. Did you watch it last week? Did you watch it?
Watch what?
Raise your glass to freedom. Hamilton, man.
I didn't
see
it.
You watch Hamilton?
I didn't see it.
Are you the only one?
You know what's cool about Hamilton is the mixtape. You ever heard the Hamilton mixtape, man? That they got some good jams on there, man.
I just saw it the other day, the first time, the night they came out. And with the three people, this is, let me run this past you, because I think this is wrong. I mean, I'm the one who like politics, I'm like the one like history, and the girlfriend and her friends, Bill and Ariel, they all go to these, you know, they got like the subscription to go see all the plays,
musicals. Your girlfriend only has two friends?
No, this is the one, they go to the.
Oh, they're the play friends.
Yeah.
Got it.
And they went.
They did.
Without me. And I've always been telling about it. Like, I remember, remember the time when you went to Hamilton without me?
Yeah.
And then these guys got to go. So they're like, hey, like somebody from the East Coast comes to, you know, the Bay Area and go, or California and go, hey, we got to take them to In-N-Out Burger. And they're like watching me eat it. Do you like it? What do you think? What's your favorite character? And I was like, George Washington. And they're like, I thought he was white, though, but they're like, why? I thought you would say that. Oh, I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I can't chime in. I didn't see it.
But I have a
point to watch it, though. I don't know, man. The last musical I saw was Cats.
Really?
Yeah, because my kids, man, love Cats.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the theatrical on movie performance. I'm talking about the real one.
Well, this is when they said, do you like it? I said, it's okay. And then I dropped it on them. I prefer Hello, Dolly. That's good, man. So when we went to vacation in New York City and we saw Hello, Dolly, I was like blown away. Well, hello. I didn't know she's a matchmaker.
You know what I saw when I was in New York is the stage play. Do you know the movie that Tom Cruise is like a rocker? Remember, he's like a rocker, man.
He's
kind of an a-hole of a rocker. He's playing a lead rock. I don't know, man. Anyway, I saw that play, whatever that play was.
In New York.
The music was great, but just sitting through that shit, like, I get that that's an art. I get it. But, man, that ain't my type of art.
Oh, when I moved to New York City, I'm going to go, like, every weekend. I was like, I get it.
Really?
Yeah.
You get all fired up?
Yeah. I loved it. I want to see Bronx Tale too.
You didn't.
And apparently, some guy—I don't know his last name—is Cordero. One of the guys in that play, big guy in there, he died. COVID. Young guy.
What?
Like I was like, I said, was it the guy who was like? Because we sat in the front row because it was like fifth row, and it was like spit every time we used to talk.
Oh wow.
He was spitting like crazy, but that's apparently not that dude.
No.
That was actually the beginning of the greatest night of my life.
Really? How'd that night end?
Because right across the street from that theater where Bronx Tale was, Bruce Springsteen's Broadway play.
Oh, dude.
And then we came out, and it was like that was his door. He comes out, and I was like, I think that's where he's going to come out when he's done. And they had kind of like barricades there, and there was a couple people there. And so they were like, let's go wait for Bruce Springsteen. And I was, because I'm the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan in the world.
I know, man. Let's not forget, you did karaoke with your blue jeans on and your red bandana and your white shirt.
And put a wig.
I was going to say the wife beater, but I can't. That's not a good, you can't reference the white tank top as a wife beater anymore. Yeah. That's a bad
it's
mojo.
It's out of vogue, too. You don't see many around here wear that anyway.
I still wear them.
Oh, in public?
No, not in public.
Well, we come out, and it's like I'm the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan of all time, right?
It's funny you say you're the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan, but you can't even fucking say his name.
I know. It's this delicious candy that you bought me.
Well, look, man, I'm so happy that you finally brought me some ding-dong nuts.
Ooh.
I can't wait to take these home, man. Thank you. Bring these to my girl and show her that
ding dong.
We're not doing a gay podcast. There's really, because she goes, hey, what do you guys talk about these ding dongs and nuts and stuff for all the time? You guys got something to tell me?
Yeah, and then this late.
I'm blowing them under the table. Come on, this is candy or food or. And now I know that they're real nuts.
And then before we started, this lady walks by. She sings your ding dong nuts. She says, "I haven't had those for a long time." She's walking.
Did she mean like a ding dong or nuts or both?
I have no idea, because if she's thinking it's a food, she's probably gonna. She's a white lady, so I don't think she knows about Filipino treats. She thought it was chocolate. Didn't say anything about chocolate. It wasn't even brown. Anyway. So Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, sorry.
We wait there.
You said it right this time.
And I freak out, man. I literally freaked out, man.
He walks out.
Like, literally. No. This is before. We still had to wait like 2 hours to wait there. But I was like, you guys. I started getting nervous. We're really hungry, we just go eat, It's like, hey, we're here forever. No, man, we got to stay. You love Bruce Springsteen. We got to stay. By the way, what other songs does he do? Oh, okay. And then he finally comes out. And the trick was, and we should have known it, you got to just grab a kid out of the street. Just grab a kid, a homeless kid, and you put him in front of you, and he went to all the people that had kids in the front of the railing, And then so he looks like he's going to hop into his big Suburban or whatever. And then we start. I didn't, because I was like freaking out still, man. I was freaking out.
Right.
I was like, I don't. Hello, Mr. Springsteen. and then they start. The other three start yelling. Right. Phil and Ariel, the girlfriend. Hey, my girlfriend's like, it's on video.
I got to see it.
It's like Zapruder. Every angle is. Hey, and Bruce Springsteen straight up looked at her like, in his mind he was thinking, is there something shady about these people? He took a pause, man, then he came over, and here's what's wrong, man. They all got like full handshakes. By the end of mine, I just got like a
little finger touch,
a finger and a half.
Oh, man, that's fucked up.
But I touched Bruce Springsteen.
That's cool, though, man. But you're right. You should have brought a kid. You should have, like, hijacked a little kid from the side.
Any homeless kids here in Times Square?
Yeah.
We need you. $50. But a similar thing happened to me by my house. We should talk about baseball today.
Yeah,
right,
man.
There, Brooklyn
Basin. I
still
miss baseball.
Starbucks. It was 4th of July during the day. Mike Fiers is right there drinking with the. And I was like, I told my girlfriend, like, oh my God, he likes Asian girls too, just like me. So he was there. He had no mask on. And then it was like later where we found out that was like the first day when they came.
Yeah,
to the Coliseum, they
didn't report back.
Right,
yeah.
And they were going to take in the test, and there was a problem. But the Chronicle was talking about there was two guys, including Mike Fiers, who had quote pending issues. And then after I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this dude. Oh my God, Mike Fiers. Wasn't wearing a mask. He has COVID. And it came out, it was the other dude, the other pitcher that he was training with, had it. That's why he was pulled out. But it was the same thing. I was like, it was two things, actually. I'm not going to go up to Mike Fiers and go, wait, I'm like probably 12 years older than that dude. I'm going to go, hello, Mr. Fiers. thank you for being a pitcher on my baseball team. Like, how's that going to, how am I supposed to do it? I going to go, Mike?
Again,
like,
you needed a kid.
Who am I?
You needed a kid, man.
Like, Mike, I don't know you. Why are you calling me my first name, And second, COVID.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be weird.
You got to watch out now because of COVID.
I'm going to have to be like 10 feet away and go, hello, Mr. Fiers. I was at your, I got a ball from his, I was at his no-hitter game.
Were you really?
And I got a ball. Joey Votto from the Reds, he just kind of tossed third out and he tossed it over the netting. We were right behind the Reds dugout. Nobody there. Tosses it over and my friend, you're never really going to live this down. He catches it straight up like a girl. Like, no, hello. And I was like, what the hell is that? I'm going to move to the next. If you catch another ball like that, I'm moving to the next section. He gave me the ball, though.
He did?
He gave me the ball. He said, hey, it's going to be in a drawer,
Wow.
You can have it. So I have a shrine to Mike Fiers.
That's pretty cool.
Once I have a bigger place one day.
Wait, I thought you got a bigger place. Didn't you, do like George Jefferson and moving on up, man? Last episode you said you were moving into a new place, or you got offered a new facility.
To a Dean Lux apartment in the sky.
So this is a bigger place, the same spot, just away from the dude you keep tattling on.
Yeah.
We got to separate these two white folks. They're going to get into a rumble in the jungle on the elevator if we keep them too close together. We got to keep them separated.
I took a new tact. I saw the dude. The dude messes up the parking garage lift every time, like six times. I went absolutely nuts.
How do you know it's him?
I went nuts on him. Well, because it was him again. It's been him again. And the people that work there told me that they think he's breaking it. So I come out. I got to go get my blood pressure pills on the other side of town. And I come out. And so I just used that opportunity to do a different thing. Like, probably I should have done it from the beginning, right?
Yeah,
I think
right.
You told me. Just to use, like, a different voice and yell out, yeah. Hey, man,
hey, why don't you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Maybe I should have just done that way. But I did it in reverse.
Yeah.
And I think it worked because this dude was hell scared of me when he saw me again.
Excuse me, manager? Is this the very sacred and secure complaint line?
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I told this dude, you broke it again? How many times are you going to break the left, man? Sir, are you saying that with my fingers I touched it? And the dude was still there who just fixed it. And I said, They already think you've been trying to break it on purpose. Sir, am I been breaking it with my fingers? And the dude, it's a big Latino dude. I think he's a supervisor. He just glared at the dude like for 5 seconds. Like, I don't want to get involved. And yes, we do think you're breaking it. So I yelled at him. I said, get out of here. They already picked you. Why don't you get out of here? Nobody likes you. That's tough.
That's a tough one right there, man.
Nobody likes you
because that hurts your feelings.
Yeah. So it's the same layout. It's trippy, man. We moved, but it's like we didn't move. It's like,
oh yeah. So that's more of an inconvenience than anything else. You got to move all your shit. Well,
but they paid for the mover guy. So we just got carts and moved. Like, okay, all the silverware, put it in the cart, move it in the same spot in the top. But here's the point, just real quick on this.
Oh fuck! I thought you like moving into a 3-bedroom.
No, I do feel like it's
better
like,
view. You got a better view?
Yes, it's higher.
One story up.
I see more of the water. I feel like it's like 1 or 2 feet wider. I really do. I was like, we didn't have this much. We put it in the couch in the same spot. I don't remember this much space. Maybe this is like an anomaly, you know, or something like that. But here's one last thing on this. Poor cat, man, was tripping out because the cat's like, everything looks the same. So we put the cat in before we moved everything. We put the cat in the carrier and took the cat to the floor above that was kind of empty, and then
is that Mochi?
Yeah, and then comes out really slow out of the carrier. Huh? What's going on? Starts looking, getting real low to the ground, looking at all the corners, sniffing around, and then okay, it's time to go. Get back in the bag. Come back to the place where the regular place, or our old one now,
right?
Where it's still furnished. Comes out and he's looking like what the hell? He's looking, and then he looks at the bag, and I felt like he looked at the bag saying, is this a time machine?
Not only are we traveling in time, but your gato is traveling in time, too. That's
and I had to tell him, as you know, last episode, yes, it is.
It is a time.
So we gave up how we travel in cat carriers.
Cat carriers.
That's the future.
That is the future.
You
who
get
knew?
In cat carriers. Somehow you fit. We fit, right?
Yeah, well, mine's a little snug. But cold stone ice cream, I'm
but so we are we're in Dublin again. I'm Steve Tavares, by the way, everybody.
I think they know that, man. I think they know that.
And with Sean Wilson, and so what about let's talk about the county first, man. Everybody become all of a sudden. You may not like what you work for the county. You work for those guys, but I'm not really talking about your boss. His name is Scott. Haggerty. Doesn't have enough syllables for Hamilton. But it's like everybody, all of a sudden, they all turn dumb at the same time. Did they all ride in the car to Sacramento and get in a crash and all have like some kind of brain? Nobody knows how to do anything. They don't know. They're totally screwed up. Made a mess of the moratorium on evictions. Well, what do you expect? It got too complicated. You got the same basic moratorium, and you got two of the same one, and then one's slightly different, and you sit there. Two, 3 weeks ago? You sat there for like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, going to the county council and talk about, so if we do this, what would happen to this? All right. And then everybody would say like the same thing, question, five times each. And it's not because, it's because nobody knows the answer. And it's so hard to understand. And yeah. Now we got this thing over the weekend where the whole East Bay was ready to go have a little, you know, little food outside al fresco. And then you wake up Saturday morning. Sorry.
Everyone was surprised, though. I mean,
mess.
Yeah, everyone, like businesses, and I think even us that work for the county were surprised. I mean, it's, you know, when you think about it, like if you own a business and you stock up your food for that week,
yeah,
man, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to make some money this weekend, and you order a bunch of extra meat and dairy and produce. I mean, you can't just like go buy that the night before. You got to stock up. And yeah, man, it's tough, man. I mean, look, this pandemic. I know it's turned into this political agenda for some. Some believe it, some don't. Obviously, you know, there's a virus out there. It's spreading. People don't think it exists, and they go to other counties. Yeah. You know, what I said from the beginning is like it makes no sense to have counties that are next to other counties that are doing totally different things. Because you're by creature of habit, man, people are going to be like, fuck it, I'm not staying home in Alameda County. We're not going to go to Santa Clara, San Joaquin, or Contra Costa County and go get my nails done, a hair done, or go shop. But, I mean, this thing has been, like, just from the onset, it's just been confusing and very difficult to deal with. You know, you can tell people you can go to Target, but you can't go to Boot Barn. You can tell people you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to a bookstore.
You love boots, man.
I mean, it's like
you're on boots, huh?
Yeah, I traded them in for some tennis shoes. But it just didn't. This is just a lot of inconsistencies, and I think, you know, people are all struggling with the same thing. This thing is real. It's here to stay. And I think what my boss said time and time again is, look, people need to like practice social distancing. They need to wear their masks because this virus is not going anywhere. We need to learn how to live with it and how to deal with it and not, you know, run away from it and be scared about it. But you see, man, just like I told you a couple weeks ago, I was in downtown Livermore and everyone's hanging out with no mask. A couple weeks ago, I went to, on 4th of July, I'm the only one wearing a mask. It's like, what are you people thinking? Like, the only thing you can do to protect yourself is wear a mask, and you don't want to do it because you think you're politically weak because our silly leader thinks that it's ridiculous to wear a mask. And he's setting a horrible example. Like, he's not going into any of his shit with masks on. He thinks he was at that Mount Rushmore fucking speech, just, you know, blah, 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 talking, you know, walking around, shooting pictures. No masks to be seen. It's crazy. So when you have a leader that doesn't, no pun intended, but lead by example, you know, what do you expect the people that are following him to do? You know, it's a jacked up situation, man.
I'm gonna issue an apology from like when I think it was our first COVID episode. Right, we took a little break because we didn't know what to do, and plus, you know, it's kind of like it was like 9/11 and Saturday Night Live. What's our tone?
Yeah, man.
You know, and then we figured it out. And I think I said something, and I'm gonna kind of take it back. I was right at the time.
It wasn't as bad as the Beyonce comment, was it?
No. Okay, no, this is just like, you know, remember when I said, "Hey, everybody, all the other places where they have goofy leaders, you're gonna be in trouble. Don't worry about yourself." You may think all politicians are terrible or stupid or whatever, but we got top-notch ones here and we'll be protected. So we do. I stand by that, right. But I have noticed, like with the moratorium stuff and the defund the police stuff and the COVID stuff, that I think the story is becoming a lot of these leaders are caving under pressure and stress. They're freaking out and they're making bad, bad decisions. And you're seeing where you got, like I said again, the eviction moratorium it's crazy. It's so confusing and it's a hot mess.
Right.
And then you got like San Leandro is going to like defund what's loosely defund. And what they defunded was to take away like a very popular homeless task force for the, you know, with the San Leandro police deal with the, you know, with homeless in a, you know, kind of like a social worker way.
Right.
Like those officers know these people, right? They're not like, and it was very, you know, won like awards and stuff. And they cut that because they're freaking out. They know they've got 7 hours of meetings 7 hours long, maybe 3-4 hours of public comment. That in a regular time, that is maybe 10 months worth of regular meetings in San Leandro City Council. So you can see they're getting the pressure and they're freaking out. So they cut something that's needed, homeless, to help the homeless, and they cut it. And then they got to come back and say, reinstate it. And like, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, that's good, though.
Mistakes. They bring it back.
But I'm saying, I'm noticing these leaders are cracking under pressure. They're freaking out, man.
I wouldn't say they're cracking under pressure. I think if you took the eviction moratorium as an example, that thing just turned to shit. It was confusing to begin with, and then it just fell apart. I mean, it was very confusing. I mean, try being a staff person that's writing your boss's report on it. Like,
yeah,
I was confused as well. But I think that the underlying factor is, you know, it was. For those that need that, it was a good piece of public policy.
Oh, yeah. For those
people. So
that's for sure.
The justification for a lot of policy, I can understand, is not bad policy. It's not reactionary policy. It's kind of like you're an elected official and you're in the first time in a pandemic. At the same time, you got a social justice tidal wave you have to navigate through. You have all these different things being thrown at you, and it's very difficult to navigate through all of it. And, you know, there's some, the root of all the policy that I've seen has been good in nature.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the defunding of police. And I mean, look, man, everyone has their own perception of that. Like I said last week, there's no crime exists anymore. I mean, just ask my window that got broken because I needed to get my keys, or ask my kid's bike that just, you know, went on its own and decided to take its own ride. But be that as it may, some people still think that there's no need for police officers. I get that. But put yourself in the position of elected official right now. I had a conversation over the weekend. Somebody wanted a call to help me run their campaign. And I asked them, I said, why in the fuck do you want to run for office right now? Like, this is the biggest shitstorm that you're ever going to face as an elected official. Why do it now? Take 2 years or 4 years and let everything readjust and reassess. You know, but you made a point of, you know, it's a bad decision. It's not a bad decision or a bad policy now as it is, you know, July 12th, 2020. But if you look back on it from July 12, 2026, and look back, yeah, it might have been a shitty thing to do. But as of now, the way it stands, it was a great thing to do. Yeah. And all these, you know, policy measures that are being put forth, or you know, some are reactionary, some are not. But hell, I wouldn't want to be in elected office at this time. I'm so glad I decided not to run for the board, man. It was a blessing in this. My kids, man, I thank them every day. Now I was like, thank you. Before I was motherfucking them, like, why did you make me not do that? Now I'm like, geez, this is the best thing ever, guys. Thank you. You want more spinach with your steak?
But when they're mad at you,
I'm just kidding. My kids don't eat steak. They eat plant based, vegan, fish that cut by hand in the fucking people, man.
But
so they're gonna call it, oh, you feed your kids steak? Yeah, I meant plant based steak.
So is this the fight in your house when you say, Dominic? You get your room right now. You did something bad. I don't know what. I'm just. That's another point of my story. You did something bad, and he goes, you know what, Dad? Why don't you go run for supervisor? Get the hell out of here. Nobody likes you.
No, we haven't. I don't tell him to go to his room.
What'd
I just
you tell me.
I'll just,
what'd you tell
I'll
me?
Just slap him in the mouth.
Say it again.
What'd you say? I don't do that either. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So the services man, don't go over my house. I'm joking. I don't hit my kids anymore.
But I disagree. I think I disagreed on that before. I think it's a perfect time to run right now.
Why? You know, man. No way, dude.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
I say no.
Do it. You just say because they're gonna. You know, it's such,
you don't even get, you can't even raise any money.
That's true. We're gonna talk about one person here. I want to talk about the lack of money that this person in Hayward. But when the county side, hey, let's talk about in a roundabout way. We could talk about baseball. We got a lot of people listening here. They're like, I'm missing baseball.
I miss baseball too, man.
And it's about 2 weeks away. I've been you've been watching Major League Soccer, MLS's back tournament.
No, man, that's you, man. I've been watching Dirty John on Netflix.
Oh no, I've been watching it, man. My earthquakes on Friday night,
dude.
They kicked ass. This is why people don't understand soccer. Because
no, I understand soccer. I played soccer. I just can't watch it.
But when I say literally, without a doubt, the Earthquakes kicked Seattle's ass.
They got in a fight?
No, they kicked their... just short of that. I mean, they kicked their ass. They had like 70% possession. And they'll ask me the score.
1-0.
0-0.
Oh, 0-0. Yeah, I was going to say.
But they literally kicked. It was ass beating, but it was 0-0.
But I'm gonna, like, I was thinking about this not too long ago. Maybe it was a couple years ago when I was watching the. I love watching the finals of the World Cup, whether it be male or the women's versions of it. And they're all great. But man,
you don't watch the women.
I do, man. Yeah. Seriously, no, I really do. I just wonder what acting school they all go to, man, to make it look like they're so injured, like they literally got shot from a sniper in the audience and they fell down and they're like in so much pain and then all of a sudden 25 seconds goes by. Oh, just kidding. I'm okay.
Well, that's
I'm up and at them.
it's called magic spray.
Oh, they got magic. It's the soccer spray.
Well, that's what I tell people. Exactly what you're saying. That's what I tell people. Why don't you watch Major League Soccer? Because that is, I mean, sometimes it's done. But it's not. You don't see those kind of like goofy shenanigans players play. They just, you know, playing hard, man.
Only if they're trying to kill the clock in the NFL and you see that lineman that can't get up.
But in baseball, this is what I noticed. So ESPN doesn't put any fake crowd noise on their games. But
MLS does?
But no, on ESPN doing the MLS tournament games, they don't put it. But they're producing them all for all the other, like Fox is also televises, and I don't know, Telemundo, I think. And so the other ones, when they do it, they put in crowd noise. So when baseball started, they got to put in crowd noise because it's so noticeable. It is sometimes, it's hard to watch without the crowd noise. You just can't do it.
But yeah.
It was totally different when it was on. The game was on Fox on Saturday night, and it had the noise. And actually, the announcers felt like they were, you know, happy to be working. The new thing I call it. By the way, I'm thinking of doing a Buster Posey. I'm just gonna opt out of work.
That'd be nice.
I'm just not gonna do anything anymore. So I do that. Like, so I, you know, can you make the bed? Nah, I don't want to. Why? I feel like doing a Buster Posey. I don't want to work.
I'm opting out.
Yeah, I'm opting out. What do you think about that guy?
But the difference is you slept in the bed, man, so you should help make it. That's a bad analogy or reference. But
what do you think about Buster Posey, millionaire?
If he wants to opt out of the season, man, for his safety, if that's the reason why, then he should opt out of his salary and sit on a bench and call it a day.
Yeah, but what about those 25 people that had to work at McDonald's and on Telegraph in Oakland that got COVID? They can't do that.
Hey, man, look, that's what I'm sorry. We should give everyone. Hey, look, if you're a great baseball player, man, you get paid more than if you're a shitty McDonald's employee. I'm sorry that that's the way that it goes, man.
I'm just saying it looks terrible.
Such is life in the United States.
And it's like.
It does look bad. So, I mean, look, I'm not a fan of Buster Posey. I mean.
That dude ruined baseball.
Because the way they attack home plate now.
He should be the commissioner because the commissioner of baseball wants to ruin baseball. Yeah, so I was saying. Since he's not going to play, can we do the regular man rules again?
Yeah, can we get back to manly ball?
Where you can crash into the home plate and you don't have to do all this like...
Dude, I don't know about you, man, but there was nothing funner than watching some of them big cats round third base. Uh-oh, here comes the throw.
Yeah.
Here it comes. It's going to be... And then, boom, there's a collision at the plate, man, and...
I mean,
you know,
it's one of the most exciting plays in all the sports, and Buster Posey, because he...
I broke my leg.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not complaining.
He didn't take proper form when he did that, too, though, man. No one's talking about that.
I always felt like there's some that dude has like something bothering him. He never looks happy. He always looks sad.
Well, he just has that look.
I wanted to be an artist, but my father made me be a baseball player. Like, he always has that look. You know, it's like, man, I don't. You know, so I want to know what Giant fans think, because I'll tell you, if Matt Chapman on the A's all of a sudden said he's opting out. Dude, I will boo Matt Chapman for the rest of my life, even if he's on my team. He hits a home run, I'll boo.
I wouldn't boo him.
Dude, that's wrong, man. It's not
a team
player.
I think Matt Chapman is one of the best third basemen that I've seen in a long time. Man. But
he's very un-A's-like. He's very tough. He's very manly.
No, man, A's is blue collar, dude. What are you talking about? They're not tough. No. When do they fight, brothers?
When do they ever get in fights on the field?
I don't know, man. When do they all get in? They don't get in fights. But you have some tough ass dudes on that team. Come on, man, Jason Giambi. We rode a Harley to the games.
That was Roy Rage.
No, man, those guys. I mean, those. I think they are some tough baseball players. I would take my top A's players in a street fight over my top Giants players of all time in a street fight. By no means.
The Giants are going to really be really bad, and so they're going to be even worse without Buster.
A's might be good, man.
Yeah, no, the A's could win World Series, and what's going to happen? It's going to be like '89. Remember, they couldn't celebrate.
Because of the earthquake.
And they couldn't have a parade.
Yeah.
It could happen again. The A's really could.
Yeah, they're a good team, man. I mean, they need another one or two pitchers out of the bullpen and maybe one starter.
Not those two rookies. The other guy has to get his COVID off.
Man. They haven't thrown a pitch in the major leagues yet. But we'll see how it goes.
But
they got some dude, man. I think, what is it, Matt Olson? He's good. I mean, they got some kids that can hit the ball, man. There's no doubt.
It's top-notch team. But
I was going to tell you, man. You mentioned your story about Bruce Springsteen and
you said it right
about having a little kid that you can use. Mm-hmm. And now we're referencing baseball, which made me think of this story. You remember? Do you know who Artie Lang is?
Artie Lang, yeah.
Artie Lang. And did you read his book? In his book,
no.
Too Fat to Fish. He has a whole chapter in there about, you know, he's loved the Yankees. So his dad takes him to like game 5 of the World Series or game 6 of the World Series, and they have nosebleed seats, and they're winning, and his dad looks at him and says, okay, it's like the top of the 8th, we're going to start making our way down. It looks like they're going to win. And Artie's like, okay, I'll go. So they get down there, and third out in the top of the 9th, they're at home, they win it. Next thing you know, Artie says, what's going on? He feels his dad lifting him up. His dad catapults him out into the field. He goes, and before he does, he goes, just meet me at second base. He keeps saying, just meet me at second base. And Artie's like, what? Next thing you know, he's lifted up in the air and thrown out onto the field. So without missing a beat, Artie runs to second base. And Artie's dad goes, hey, I got to go out there and get my kid. So the cop lets him run out there, and he meets him at second base, and he goes, look at this kid. This is the only time we're ever going to be huddled at a World Series at second base. And then his dad gets arrested.
That's genius. Was this like 70s?
It was like the 80s, like mid 80s probably. No, probably late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, when it was like World Series at that
time? Yeah, it was World Series. That's how funny his dad throws him out there and says, meet me at second base, kid.
See, that's a great idea.
So you always have to have a little kid around.
I have a friend. It was like there was a neighbor dude. He was an old dude who would take all the kids to the game, like in the 70s, 8 at the Coliseum. And he said the old man would bring a baby bottle and fill it up with like booze. And he would just sit there, and nobody say anything.
Yeah,
that's
man.
A brilliant idea.
Well, except you can't do it now, man. An old man in the stadium with a bunch of kids and he's sipping on a baby bottle. I don't think this is going to work.
Well, I'm going to give. So. Here's a tip for everybody for baseball season coming up. Although you can't go to the game, but when you can, and this it works for any sport, because I was an usher at the Coliseum.
Nice.
Like in the 90s when they weren't good. And in the times when I got unlucky draw.
Were you like, hey, man, can you 9 people just go home so I can leave work today?
No, I just watched the whole game. I gave really good directions, though.
You did?
Like shortcuts to people that get to places. But if I got the short end of the draw and I had to be like by the, you know, the tick when you come into the game by behind the ticket tape.
Yeah.
That's not good because you can't see anything. And then, but I got ideas how to sneak in contraband. So I always talk about my margarita plan. What you got to do, Ziploc bag it. And you put it on your body in the jacket. So you put your tequila, you got to mix it there. So you bring the cups. And you bring the cooler, like a little cooler or a jug, cooler jug. You fill that up with either you buy the mix for the margarita or you make your own sugar in the lime. Put it in there because even the mix, if they do in back in the days when they were like put their hand over and smell it, if it wasn't booze, it's like Kool-Aid or something, right? It's not even alcohol. So you go through, you put the tequila in a Ziploc. And then you put the Ziploc in your jacket. So if they were to pat you down, it's just going to feel like fat. Right?
Dude.
So you bring the cups, and then you just go and ask for ice when you're in the game, and you just mix that thing up. Funnest game ever.
Man, you really are Portuguese, man, because you know the alternative is you can just go buy a margarita.
No.
I know they're expensive at $11.50.
You can make like 20 of them, man, for free.
But that's doing too much.
For the price of one. No, it's not. You just pour the thing in and just shake it up and then You just, hey, man, can I have a cup with ice? There you go, sir.
Well, continuing on the theme of having a little kid with you, here's what I've seen. Here, I've seen somebody do this. I've never done it. But I've seen a guy, well, going into the Raider game with his son in front of him and couldn't finish his beer by the time they get to the little deal. So he goes, oh. So he had a fresh beer, and he dumps it in his kid, dumps the whole beer, sealed, right? Dumps the beer sealed in the hood of his kid's jacket that happens to be walking in front of him. They don't check the hood of a little 10-year-old kid's jacket.
That's good.
So he walked in there, and that's dad good. Grabs the beer when they go to the stands, and boop, 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 free Coors Light. I'm just, I mean, I've never done that, but I've seen
props to
the
that
dad
kid.
Next to me do it.
You sure it was a Raider fan?
It was a Raider fan. I know.
They didn't know how to say that.
And I told Dominic, don't say. No, oh, I mean, I told this kid, don't say anything. Just keep walking. Keep walking, buddy.
But if we talk about politics now of his thing here, we got this, the Coliseum, and where the future of the A's is part of the District 1 race between David Halbert, and we're in his town, Dublin, the mayor of Dublin, and Fremont council member Vinnie Bacon in the runoff for the most prized seat in politics in Alameda County. And the issue of the Coliseum and the future of the A's could rest with these guys here. That's one vote, but that's one out of five. And yeah. There's that seems like, I don't think David Halbert is so much into the weeds on the idea of whether the county should, it's not even should, they're going to sell the half of the county of the Coliseum, and the Oakland will save their part to the A's. And then the A's want to do a development there, and part of it, they'll develop it, and part of it, you know, fund Howard Terminal at the waterfront. But Vinnie Bacon is very in the weeds on this, and he is a guy who is saying, let's not sell. If I was a supervisor, I would vote to not sell the Coliseum.
Yeah, and I guess the question to him would be why. You don't control, as the county, and a lot of people don't understand this, you don't control the land use underneath the Coliseum property. The city of Oakland does. So why are you in the business? You sell it, you recoup some of your losses, and you move on. Whatever the city wants to do, they can do it. They own the land use rights to that land, and it's better for the A's to negotiate with one body than three or two. But look, man, going back to the reality of that project, I doubt a Coliseum will ever be built. And it has nothing to do with COVID. It has nothing to do with politics. Well, it does have something to do with politics, but it has a lot to do with the Oakland community. I mean, they're already, you know, trying to circle around the trough, asking for, you know, community benefit and their fair share of this and that and that. And there's so many interest groups in Oakland that they want a piece of this. And it's like, the deal's never going to get done.
They'll be playing
in Washington.
I want to tell some East Bay Insider stuff here. When there's a story about the Sierra Club sends a letter complaining about, or sends a letter to the city and saying, don't sell your half to the A's, build a stadium there, Sierra Club.
Yeah.
Well. Sierra Club. Now, the Sierra Club is a brand and organization that is much respected in the country.
They're very respected.
But when it comes here, the Bay Area Sierra Club, am I right or wrong? Ding dongs.
No, I think they're still respected.
No, I don't think so. Well,
oh, I disagree.
We need
man.
To bring Phil Takami on here to tell him about those dudes.
Yeah, I think they're very the respected.
I don't think so. Every time, it's always been a little. Isn't that our buddy Igor? Isn't he a part of that group?
I don't know.
It's not a, not talking about know. Igor. I think he's going to be here.
Is he coming?
Oh, here he comes. Hey, man.
Oh, thank you for being here in Dublin. What are you doing here?
This is not, you're from Berkeley.
Oh, I would first like to thank everybody in Dublin. Let me start with the A's. thank you, Mr. Aronson, for your help, for your help in,
What are you?
You ran out of steam there, Igor.
My apologies.
Pick up.
My apologies.
You might be a little punch drunk from that BART ride.
I need some coffee. But another time, let's go get a beer, okay?
Beer.
And we'll talk about. I would like your comments and your analysis and if I run for the Buckley City Council one day.
Is he Phineas or is he Ferb? Which one is he?
I'm Igor right here.
That's a Phineas.
Talking to me.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't man. Know. Take
Weird.
It out.
That's like the second time he's popped up out of nowhere. He's been showing up in like Hayward too. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe well, what's that other guy that pops up on the soups meetings now, man, and asks for... he wants to speak on every item. Do you know that guy? The one, he's from Hayward or...
Kelly?
No, not that guy. I know that guy. Another guy.
Oh, the guy, asked,
he's always like asking for the wrong thing at the wrong time.
It's like he thinks he's calling. Yes, that's
Is it Daniel or David? Or
oh, I got to think of his name. You know, he
Maybe
ran,
some Union City.
Yes, he ran for the city council last time in Union City. It wasn't close. this is hilarious. This is like Saturday Night Live bit, right? Because he's calling in. It's a Zoom call, Board of Supervisors meeting. He calls in and he straight up is talking like he's in customer service, right? That's the tone. He's like telling the board president, how can I get a phone call? who should I call? And yes, and what is your name again?
Yeah. What is your email address?
My name's Richard Valle.
Oh yes. Okay. And who are you again? I'm County Council Donna Ziegler. Yes. And how do you spell that? Z-I-E. It's like totally like he's calling in to fix his Xfinity.
Yeah.
He's hilarious, and they don't know what to do.
No, he's something, man. It's been entertaining.
Yeah, he's a breakout star COVID meetings.
Yeah, he's
definitely. He's definitely. But Coliseum, I'm beginning to get the idea from Vinnie Bacon's rhetoric. If you're an A's fan and you want them to thrive and build a ballpark at Howard Terminal, this is the guy not to vote for. And here's the other thing. Vinny Bacon talks about development and traffic and overwhelming the systems, but when it's a bunch of one of the poorest neighborhoods in all of Alameda County, he wants to have 50,000 cars coming through 81 times a year. You know what I mean?
It makes no sense. Yeah, it makes no sense.
But
I mean, him talking about, you know, the A's and that stadium deal, you know, is like me talking about, you know, how to mine for gold. I have no idea how to mine for gold. I don't have any fucking clue. I know you take a shovel and maybe one of those Swift sifter things and shake some shit loose. But you know, my point is, everyone should just stay in their lane. If you don't know about it, read about it, educate yourself about it, then make an informed decision. But don't just chime out when you make a statement like, "Well, I think they probably should have kept it." Why? County's business is not to provide sports entertainment for the community.
Yeah. David, that was kind of David Halbert, a little bit is David Halbert's. That's his line that you hear from, I think, Keith Carson, like, oh man, 5-6 years ago, was the first one who would start saying that line of, "We don't want to be in the sports business." And David Halbert's talking about that. You don't get the feeling that David Halbert's plan, idea on the selling the Coliseum to the A's, the Coliseum complex, is not fleshed out. It's not one of his big points, but it is for Vinnie Bacon. And, you know, he was also against, remember when the A's wanted to go to Fremont? He was also against that.
Was he?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
He don't like baseball.
Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
But so we're going around the East Bay. Last couple episodes talking about some of these races, give it a little real tiny previews. Let's talk about Hayward, and that's what I was talking about earlier. We're now getting to the point where everybody is it's like the milestone, the guidepost here for November election is one of them is the June 30th campaign finance period. And right. so it's June 30th, that's the end of it. So you know, we're already seeing finance reports being released, and by the end of the month they'll all be out there, but some of them are coming out, and there's one in Hayward, so that's a big race. It has like 10, there's going to be 4 seats. They have another goofy
Mendel
version.
Who's not running,
he's not running.
Zermaino,
Lisa Marquez, and Mark Salinas. So they have at-large races. So
they're still at-large.
Yeah,
so they're not district yet.
No, I don't know. What's that one dude from Malibu? How come he hasn't filed a suit? Voting Rights Act. So you just have to finish 4th.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like Talladega Nights. you're not first, you're last. But no, if you're not first, if you're not fourth, you're last.
Yeah.
So you can get a seat.
Yeah.
And so Al Mendel is not running. I think his hemorrhoids gotten worse. That's always been my theory. Because he's the guy. So he's the guy, if you watch, he's the guy that always stands up in the meetings with a podium. Because I guess he got an accident.
My name is Al. Oh, not enough syllables.
So I was
my
like,
my name is Abe Lincoln.
I was like, you're not fooling me, man. You're not fooling me. It's hemorrhoids, man.
Oh, man.
Because do you not sit? So when he goes to the Olive Garden across the street from Chabot College, does he stand up with his podium?
He probably doesn't go out to eat, man.
When does he go eat? How's he going to sit down?
Do hemorrhoids make your ass hurt? Did you can't sit down?
They are literally pain in the ass. In many levels.
And I guess now I know what the H in preparation H means.
Yeah.
It's not hemorrhoids. It hurts.
So
you get medical tips here, man. You get baseball tips. Uh-huh. You get political tips. Uh-huh. You get food tips like ding dong nuts, man. This is something for everyone here.
Yeah, everything. We got Igor. I think he.
Wait, he's back.
No, he's not. I think
he left.
No. I forgot to. I will be right back. I forgot to thank the barista for my vegan latte and their whole family. I will come back and it'll take me a while to thank their whole family. Okay. And thank you, Sean, and your family and your great grandparents. And don't forget, Brooklyn City Council 2022. Thank you. Kind of annoying, this guy.
So broke, who's broke, man? I'm waiting to get it. Who's broke out of the floor?
Here's my thing. You know, I've been saying, I said it even before there was an election time. I remember like 9 months ago, I said somebody's going to lose, and I think maybe two, but definitely one is going to lose their seat, and I think it's Francisco Zedmeno.
Well, that Latino Lives Matter, that thing is going to have that might hurt. I mean.
You got to say sorry, man.
That's gonna leave a little bit of a sting.
But here you're gonna have to get out.
And what if you're the firefighters, which is like the politically motivated group, like in Hayward, like they're very politically active. Who do they endorse, man? Do they stay away from Francisco because of that? I don't know. They never supported Mark Salinas, so it's like you got some openings for some new people there for that endorsement.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. But
you can get Wahab, at least two of Wahab's angels in there.
Wahab's angels. Well, I'm going to talk. I'll bring that up. But first, Zermanio. So bring out your consultant.
If you need any help, freecampaignconsulting.com.
Was it Zermanio that called you up?
No. Hola, amigo. You helped me as Francisco Zermanio. I was on Channel 2 on the weekend. Did you hear that? And I acted like I didn't even know that my city defied the reopening, outdoor reopening order. It's like I'm not even aware of what I'm doing. And I went on Channel 2 and gave an interview and made it seem like I was to have no idea.
Oh, man.
He goes on there and says, yeah, we need to help the businesses. Well, you didn't close it. You're defying it. So what are you talking about, Francisco? So, hey, he's been there since 2008, 12 years.
That's it.
And he only has like $2,400 in the bank as of June 30th.
That's $2,000 a year.
What's that say?
That's some damn good fundraising.
What does that say?
It says he needs to. He says he better raise some money, man.
Okay, this is what we'd be like. If we go like head to head, like spy versus spy. I got a campaign X, and I'm going to come out, and you're Zemeno's consultant. And right. I'm going to have my candidate just blast you all over and saying, Francisco Zermeno has been there for 12 years, and he's done nothing to improve Hayward. And not only that, he has no grassroots help. Nobody even knows him to give him any money.
What are you talking about, man? You have $2,400. You know how many pennies that is?
That's
report your filings in pennies. You makes it look like you have a lot more money. And don't let them say you haven't done nothing. You brought in like three dispensaries for tax increments you brought in zero. You tried to bring in some dispensaries, but that didn't work either. What else, man?
Okay, candidate X. This is what you'd say to him. And say, You have $2,400. That means I could grab, I'm not even elected, and I have more grassroots support. All I had to do is make two calls, say, hey, can you max out, which is $1,500. Can you max out? I get two people, and I got more money than you, and you've been here for 12 years. Everybody knows your name. Viva la Hayward.
Yeah, you know, I'm proud not to be manipulated and owned by big money and special interests. I like that my folks donate what they can. You know, it says that I have like 2,400 people that gave me a dollar. Okay, I had 2,400 people that gave me a dollar. That's what that means. Okay, you can take it out of context any way you want, but I know 2,400 people. So you're two people that gave you 15. Go fuck themselves.
Well, here I would be like, so you were Wahab's angels. So I want to talk about this because this seems different, and it almost seems different that it was like, is this even legal? But Wahab's angels is what you're referring to, or the, and I don't, they're a slate, and I can't off the top of my head think what they call themselves, but Alicia Crater and Lacey Amade, two young women who are strong, progressives, very much into the house, kind of like in the vein of Ayesha Wahab. They've got, I believe they're going to have like 30 grand, but between them. Now, what are the pitfalls of doing that? So they are very much a slate, like not just like I have this office and I got this office and we're going to run together. No, they're actually got two people in one office running lockstep.
Yeah, that's.
What do you think? That's have you ever seen that before?
Yeah, I think actually it's funny you mentioned that because Don Biddle and Abe Gupta did the same thing here in Dublin.
Oh.
You know, they combined their resources and they had a number of endorsements and they had a number of the same contributors, so they ran basically one campaign. They had different lawn signs, but their mail was together. Their messages were very similar. It worked for them. I don't necessarily recommend it. Doesn't always work. You know, you don't want to run as a slate. You kind of want to run independently. Other groups and organizations will put you in as a slate if they support you, like the Hayward Chamber or the Hayward Firefighters. They'll support all four. But even then, the electorate never supports all four or all three. They only cherry pick who they want. I think it's risky, but I think if you know you're going to have to figure out a way how to navigate politically through this weird time. You know, is it social media? Is it email? It's definitely not going door to door. So, you know, it might be a way to maximize your resources and to do some, you know, out of the box kind of campaign messaging, which, you know, you're going to have to all, you know, I'm writing plans now that are different in nature for all of the people that I'm helping. And they're all using different forms that we've never used before. It's not the same. It's not going door to door in precincts. You know, we're going to save a lot of money on mail. We're going to save a lot of money on printing. We're going to save a lot of money on data, and we're going to do everything online and try to use social media, which kind of sucks because you're not going to be able to look at or after this election to be able to predict what worked or what didn't, because this is like an election that'll be wiped off the radar screen after, or wiped off the data screen after it happens. But it in a nutshell, it's risky, but it's a way for them to maximize their resources and maximize their base and get out there and you know, be in two different places at one time, essentially.
Yeah. But when those Dublin candidates, they just, Don Biddle was already elected, right?
Yeah.
So that seems a little weird.
I think Abe was too, though.
Oh, that seems a little weird. I would think that...
Because Abe filled both of his terms. I think he might have been elected too.
Yeah. But this seems, I can understand. So with Crater and Amade, they are... not known, they're rookies, they're young.
To do it as two newcomers, it's that's really risky.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
I guess it would be one of the problems if you had one
like
of
if you were on the council for 10 years and I was just running and you wanted to join with me, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm going to hang my hat on his horse because he's already been here. He's got 10 years of street cred, right? As long as it was positive. Like, it makes sense for me to jump on your gravy train, but to start from... You know, both from zero in the sense of name recognition on a ballot, that's a little difficult.
One of the pitfalls, and I don't think this would be the case with these two women, but you could see one thing, like if we ran on us together and then, you know, one of us says something crazy, then all of a sudden it's on you.
Yeah.
that would be one pitfall. But they're pretty good. You know, with the Lacey Amedee is she's pretty strong. The Alicia Crater is also, but she's got a little bit more. She's a little bit. I think she's younger, and she's got a little. She's very a little bit more fierceness to her, and like come at it hard. Like it could get scare people, but you know they.
It might be a good balancing act for him.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like that movie, Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice, man.
They're Fire and Ice, man. But, you know, they do the thing. They're doing like the Stephen Cassidy thing, the former mayor of San Leandro, which I think it's a genius thing that more people should do what Stephen Cassidy does. You don't have any money or you want to maximize money? Free advertising. Is the people, a lot of the people who are going to vote, I mean, that's not many people, but they're going to be watching city council meetings. So if you go there and you do public comment on issues and you just say, you know, hey, you're just telling everybody who you are. And you, hey, yeah. That guy makes sense. Oh, yeah, and he's against this. And, you know, you can even you can talk trash.
That was a good platform
you
for
you can talk trash. Maybe your opponent is on that city council. And you could talk trash to them.
And they can't say shit back.
And they can't say nothing to you.
No.
It's great, perfect. Yeah. It's free. He used to do that all the
time. Your buddy Kelly uses that.
Kelly, that's our that's one of the great public commenters of the LV County, Kelly Abreu. He's Portuguese.
Really?
He speaks Portuguese.
Does he really?
Yeah. He showed up one time at the Portuguese Festa over there, and they were
hung out with him.
And then sat with us, and then my grandmother. Then he leaves. You know, he's sprinkling in Portuguese, and then he goes, and my grandmother goes. Just he walks away, and she looks at us. Who's that guy? I don't know. But I think that Hayward is up. Something's going to happen there, and you got 10 people. How does that change things? Well, let me rephrase this whole thing because then we can go into the next thing. In your consultant handbook, like right now, there's the Hayward City Council for 4 seats. Right now has 10 people file intents. 10 people. The Oakland City Council 7. District 7 seat that was not owned he thinks he owns it, represented by Larry Reed, who's retiring, has 11, I believe, or maybe it's 10. How do you navigate when you got such a good field, like big field? Like, let's be honest,
you got to take Oakland out of it though, because that they have ranked choice voting, which makes a totally different ballgame.
That's true too.
They have ranked choice. That campaign for those 11 people was totally different. So is Ignacio one of those?
I don't. I've not heard. I don't believe so.
Man, Ignacio, get your name in there.
I guess the big
name. I'm on my way, motherfucker. If I don't, I'm going to fucking do it. Okay, man. Yeah, I got you, man.
He should.
Did you come here with Igor?
Hello, Mr. De La Puente.
Hey, fuck you, Igor. Hey, motherfucker.
Oh, well, I would like to thank you and your family and your wife. And I would like to thank the president of Mexico and his family and his cousins. And I would like to thank this lady right there of undetermined race. Thank you. Good to see you, Mr. De La Fuente.
Are you going to sign off with him and his? Or her and she? They got so many shit changed. I had to text our buddy Kevin Dowling, man.
Oh.
I go, what does this mean, man? Oh, this is it's a pronoun, non-binary pronoun to refer to you that you're not always as you appear. I'm like, we're getting to that point now, man. I mean, what the fuck? LGBTQIA? Why don't we just say the ABCs, man? Just say fucking call it there. Everyone's covered.
I don't know.
But have you heard that? The signing off on that?
Well, there's like long. They're longer than that.
Oh, my goodness,
it's
man.
Long. It's going to be like I don't know, 10 or 12 letters.
I'm so glad I don't have social media, man. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking this thing here.
Wait, do you want to go back and talk about those 10 people running for?
Oh yeah, those 10. So in Oakland, I guess the main ones. I guess you would just bite. You take it in chunks, right?
Right.
I guess the ones that are looking like the headliners would be Treva Reed, which is Larry Reed's daughter. Yeah. And you know she's worked. You know she worked for PG&E.
Yeah, not a good employer.
I come after that.
Yeah,
that'd be the first thing. Hey, she worked PG&E. This one right here. Yeah. We all hate PG&E.
At every Zoom interview, I just hold up a big-ass thing of the fire. Like, here you go. This is PG&E.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. And then right, she freaks out and goes, oh, my God. they're hitting me really hard on PG&E. Wait till they find out I used to work for Comcast. Oh my God. Two most hated companies ever. What do you think? You know, we don't really have that kind of thing in the East Bay in Alameda County where, you know, somebody, except for Bill Lockyer did it, but, you know, nepotism looking thing. Larry Reed's been there like for, I don't know, 20 years. And he's going to leave, and then he's going to install his daughter. And this is not a new thing.
Well, but it's not an installation.
She's been thinking about this because Larry Reed,
yeah,
he talks to God. He literally talks to God, and he says, God, this is Larry Reed. And he did this like in 2014, 2006, or
2000. Yes, my son.
Yeah. Should I run? Well, first he said, should I run for mayor? And God said no. So he didn't run for mayor.
No, my son. And I've told you 8 years in a row.
And then he's going to run again. And then they said he's, you know, he's always thinking, I don't know, maybe the, because the federal government is investigating him and he's always getting freaked out. He's like, this is it. This is it. They're probably going to get me. I got to quit now. And he keeps going. But now he's finally, you know, he's one. Actually, I'll be honest with you. Since he's out of the game, this is what I do normally when they're out of the game. He's one of my favorites.
I like him. I like Larry Reed. But didn't you say something derogatory about him?
No, I don't think so. I care about Larry. When I see him, because
I thought you called him Homie the Clown or something one time. Didn't you? You did.
I don't know. I say he has a George Jefferson hairdo.
Yeah, but he's, you know, dude, Larry Reed's cool dude, man.
I always.
I don't know his daughter though. Seriously, I don't know. I mean, look, he's not installing her. She's still got to run and do it on her own merits.
But here's the word on the streets.
Oh yeah, that's right. You live in Oakland, so you can say that.
Is that she's very religious?
What's wrong with that, man? Everyone needs a little Jesus.
To the point where she's against abortion.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, that's the word.
So she probably is not very gay friendly.
And he is very. I don't know. You know, Larry's always. Like I said, he talks to God all the time.
Haven't it ever tripped you out, man? That it appears that, you know, the upper echelon of like the black churches hate gays. I mean, you would think, I mean, I would welcome it in my house of race and be like, hey, guys.
That's why they have the DL, right?
Yeah, I mean, down like, low. Maybe we should all hang out together and shit. Like,
I know.
You're being oppressed. We were oppressed. What the fuck?
I mean, Latinos that, too. Like, dude, you guys got to
get it together.
Put it together,
bond, man.
Yeah. Latinos can't.
Was it greater in numbers?
What I noticed is you go through.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warriors. If
fuck the Warriors. I'm glad they're not even playing in the playoffs. Lead fucking Alameda County. Fucking most loyal fans in the world and shit. And they just say goodbye. And guess what? Now they suck. Good job, guys. There's nothing like the Karma Police coming and giving you ass a ticket. Right?
Oh, they'll be back. Anyway. They'll be back. But what I like is you go through deep east. Like what Larry Reed calls deep east Oakland. The killing fields. He literally says that about his own district.
Really?
You know what he said to me one time? Because he lives on the border, kind of close to you know, like Durant Square,
right,
close to San Leandro, Oakland border.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me one time, I said, Larry, I was talking about the marina or San Leandro Marina. He says, oh, yeah, I take my dog to walk there every day. Wait a minute, Larry, why don't you walk in Oakland? Hell no, I ain't walking around these streets. His own city, his own district. He's like, hell no, no. It's the killing fields. It's the killing fields.
Hang out with my man,
yeah,
Benny.
Yeah. So, they also have a bishop, Bishop Bob Jackson.
Oh, he's pretty influential too, man.
I don't think a guy like that could win on the Oakland City Council.
So they got two religious people.
Yeah, you got Kenny Houston.
He's running.
Yeah, he's everybody, put on your white T-shirts. It's Kenny Houston time. T-shirt, you're on from the Jersey Shore. T-shirt time.
T-shirt time with Kenny.
Hey, I got my nice white shirt.
Hey, my name's Kenny.
They are nice.
Take a look at my chicken. I call him Chippy.
Chippy the chicken.
Chippy the chicken. That's like my kid, man. Can't you be more creative with the name? He got the name Chippy because the CHP had to rescue his ass.
Yeah.
I gave my kid a stuffed animal one time. He still has that fucking stuffed animal. He's 14 now, so 11 years later. And I go, what do you want to name your stuffed animal? He goes, how about Stuffy? Oh, sure. That's really creative. Dominic, can you think of something a little bit more creative than Stuffy? Hey, I got your dog. What do you want to name it? Doggy? You got to be like Libby or Mochi or something. Fuck. Be creative.
Ken Houston, though, does make some good Facebook Lives, like when he went to Hayward to go get COVID tested. Because I'm doing it for moms. I don't want to kill mom. I guess he was negative, but he did the whole thing.
He thought COVID was an STD test and shit. He's like, I can't be getting people in trouble out here. I got to stay cool.
It's going to fail. It's like that. You see that meme where it's like, COVID is like all the tests, battery of tests.
Yeah.
And COVID like, negative. And everything and else. Then
like, yeah, marijuana positive, AIDS positive, heroin positive, cocaine positive. And then you go, it's the joke's like, oh, my COVID test came negative. Great. That's a funny joke.
That's just why. So my point, Ignacio, if he's going to do it, he's got to get in that race. If he lives in, he does live in District 7, right? I don't know where he lives,
but he's got to get in. He just come in at the end and just drop it.
I mean, he could do that. That's his other arch enemy, not Mario Juarez, but his other arch enemy, Rebecca Kaplan. That's what she done, come at the end, because there's absolutely no clear cut leader for that seat, District 7.
But look, Kenny Houston, man, that's a good, I mean, that could be pretty interesting.
I wish we were live, a video right now, see my face.
That'd be interesting, though. He's been on the ballot a few times now. He's got name ID.
I don't think so.
And then you got to partner with Bob Jackson. Bishop Jackson be like, hey, man, you coming first and vote me for second, one and two.
Bishop Bob Jackson one time was at a Oakland City Hall meeting, and I was in there. And, you know, they have like the rafters. They have seating on the side, right on the top, like second floor on the side. And Margaret Gordon, who's a very tough woman in the West Oakland, like for fights against the trucks and asthma. And Bishop Bob Jackson was going to go speak, and he was lining up in the center on the floor down, you know, lining up, and he started talking, and then she started yelling at him. You don't know, don't yelling at him. And he straight up cuts off his speech. He looks up and he said, "Shut your mouth, woman." I was like, "What the hell?"
Damn!
Shut your mouth, woman. To Margaret Gordon. Now he's lucky, because I swear, Margaret Gordon, she could have like a samurai knife in her purse.
Wow.
I would not mess with that lady. I mean, she's probably like late 60s.
They better
60s.
Find those tapes.
Oh, she will cut
you. Hey, Kenny, man, you need to find that tape.
Yeah, shut your mouth. It was probably like 6 years ago or something.
That's crazy.
But,
so, yeah, man.
It's going to be a big race.
Yep.
Oakland has some, that's the one thing about Oakland, man. You look on the East Bay Citizen candidates list, and when you get down to Oakland, man, that's a long list.
Yeah.
People run. Every in Berkeley, too.
Oh, yeah.
They get on it. And I don't know why other, you know, maybe because they know they can get, you know, a decent, somewhat decent pay to do the job. Right. Whereas Dublin, you're not gonna get anything. It's going to be more hassle than anything in the long run when people come and yell at you while you're trying to, you know, buy some, you know, carrots at Safeway. If that was me. Somebody, if I was a council member, somebody get on there, I would start asking for advice. What do you think about these ornamental carrots? You know, they're orange, red, different shades. Should I get those or should I get these regular orange ones? But I want to talk about this development. It's going to take out all children and no schools and isn't that. Like, hold on, Mr. Bacon. You're in the wrong section. Meat is over there. I'm in the vegetable. So unless you change your name to Vinny Vegetable, which sounds good, because it sounds actually more Italian.
Yeah. There Vinny, you go, Vinny Vegetable.
But we're gonna talk about other races. We're just kind of, it's early, kind of giving a little sample. It's like a charcuterie plate right now of
what
the
you
races.
Call it?
Charcuterie.
Damn, that's pretty good. You can say charcuterie, but you can't say Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springfield?
I think you just get all in love and you just trip over your tongue and shit.
I know.
My love, if Bruce Springsteen.
If you name a song right now, I can sing it.
Really?
Yeah, like, not just like, sing Born in the USA. Born in the USA. No, I could do like the lyrics.
No, I can't do that. I don't even know any.
You got to go a little deeper, though.
I don't even know any Eastery band songs. I just listen to it, man. The one when he's down in the, when he talk, well, I was going to say, the one when he talks about the unemployment line over at the union hall and the, no, and he's, and
oh, the river?
The river. That's it. You know the river?
Okay, he's talking again. The part where he's like, I got a union job and a wedding coat. And that's when we, that's when he gets married.
The river's good. That's a good jam.
We go down to the river, my baby and I.
Next time I'm gonna have a song for you, all ready to go. His album, man, that he had, one of the live ones a couple years ago that he re-released. That was good shit, man.
We went.
Can you say hi to Lena Tam?
Oh my God, that is former Alameda
Alameda City Council
member. Then she ran for the BART board against Robert Rayburn, and Robert Rayburn was in trouble, right? When they were on strike, Bart was on strike, and he kind of turncoated on against the union.
Well,
and
that didn't work.
And then I went to do that race for the Express. So I'm interviewing Robert Rayburn and Lena Tam. And Lena Tam straight up says, that one question, right? Why are you running? Because some people, including Ellen Corbett, said I should run. I'm like, what?
And that's like, why she has that.
What kind of answer is that? What kind of answer is that? And it was so bad. Even the Express is like wanted to stick it to Robert Rayburn, and then when we had the meeting and they asked me who should we endorse, I said, you know what, Robert Rayburn should get punked for what he did to the BART unions, turncoating on them.
Right.
Plus, I saw him one time in Alameda riding his bike. I don't know how this works, but he was going faster than 25 miles an hour. he was speeding on his bike.
Probably had an electric bike.
In a suit. He was in a suit and penny loafers, still going 25 miles an hour. And I was like, you know what? It was such a terrible. Lena Tam made no sense. And no, this man. Dude is like, he's like the biggest transportation nerd, to the point where actually, like, I was like, hey, what? Maybe I should go to Diablo Valley College and learn about transportation. I was like, dude, are you a teacher? Because you make feel like you were like,
right?
Like, you inspired me. And so I was like, hey, we should punk Robert Rayburn for turning. We can't endorse it because Lena Tam don't know what the hell she's talking about.
That's too bad.
The BART trains would be like going the wrong way if she's on the board of directors. They'd be upside down, wheels up. Man. You know what I mean? But unless you see any other former.
No, don't see anyone else, man. We had here. Ignacio, Igor, and Lena Tam today.
I think that's Liz Figueroa there at the Fuddruckers. I don't know.
But
another episode of East Bay Insiders. And tell a friend, man.
It's starting to get windy out here.
Tell your friend to listen to this. This is where you get the scoop and you get some comedy. And once again, I am Steve Tavares.
And I'm Sean Wilson.
Another episode of East Bay Insiders next week. And we'll look forward to it. And let's... maybe we should have a charcuterie plate done next time.
Charcuterie plate?
Or bring your own while you listen. I prefer brie. What's your favorite cheese?
Yeah, man, I like a good brie, dude. I like a little goat cheese, though.
Provolone?
Yeah, oh, why? Because I'm Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's provolone, eh?
That's what I'm saying. That's so good. That's what I get. That's what I get at Lucas all the time, man.
Really? That's good.
Yeah, Lucas or the Pepper Jack.
Gotta go with the pepper jack, man. It's good on anything.
Oh, man.
Put pepper jack on eggs, toast, anything. Pepper jack is always good.
You know,
can't go wrong.
What we need to do, we'll end on this. What we need to do is when COVID's done and we can have like recreational co-ed softball teams, we should start one.
We should.
And get Lucas to be our
sponsor.
Lucas in Sacaster Valley, Castro Valley Boulevard, be our sponsor, but we actually will never play. We'll just get sandwiches, like whole platters, and we'll just take it home and, you know.
Just chow down.
Yeah.
Visit your buddy that lives under you now and ask for a little spliff.
No, we'll be like, hey, Mr. Luca, we actually have a softball game on Super Bowl Sunday. yeah. He's like, hey, did they play softball that early in the early February? It's a whole new league, man.
Yeah.
The season got shifted because of COVID.
Exactly. This is actually, we're in the championship game.
Yeah, this is 2020. This is the 2020 season, and then we're going to start 2021.
We got those sandwiches a half hour before kickoff. Yeah. I mean, before first pitch.
Yeah, Memorial Day is when our new season starts, and we're going to need some sandwiches right
there. And then Labor Day, we got to do it for Labor Day, man.
I don't know if I can...
It's called the Holiday League.
I don't know if I can
every holiday.
I can afford the sandwiches. Listen.
Listen, man, we're promoting your fucking product.
Mr. Luca, do you want to win? Do you want a champion? We need carbs.
Do you want to see our trophy?
And meat.
That's right.
We're going to beat these guys. We're playing Fuddruckers, man. They got the big, you know, big pound hamburgers.
That's right, man. Anyway. That's funny.
East Bay Insiders. We did it again. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
Later.